Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What does Jake Moody look like?
Oh.
I'm teasing. No, it's Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk and the entire trickle-down effect of Ricky Pearsall, this other guy that they drafted.
Guy made 250-plus yard field goals in the Super Bowl. I'm not worried about Jake Moody.
I just wanted to see your head explode.
It's got to be pretty Ricky. White boy Rick, pretty Ricky, Ricky Pearsall.
For me, it's just wide receivers.
And Slick Rick.
The reason why I say wide receivers is that, like, the Niners finally have a plethora of wide receivers that they could utilize. Deebo Samuel has had an up and down last couple of training camps. Brandon Ayuk has been the star of training camp basically 3 years in a row. Right? Star of training camp.
Oh, I know.
Three years in a row.
Which is why when I hear people say, oh, we can just go find another Brandon Ayuk, it's all good. On this team that we say has a Super Bowl roster that is loaded with talent, littered with talent up and down the lineup, and Brandon Ayuk has been one of the best players in training camp 3 years in a row, and we think that Brandon Ayuk's just grow on trees, oh, we can just go get another Brandon Ayuk, it's all good. We need this guy in camp. You need him in camp because I want to see the three-wide allotment with the three-wide formations with Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and Ricky Pearsall in the slot. I need to see it. I want to see it. I don't want to see Brandon Ayuk called out of camp and then all of a sudden he hasn't caught passes from Brock Purdy all offseason. I need that rapport between the quarterback and the wide receiver, the number one wide receiver. So my eyes, number one, I'm going to be fixated on Ricky Pearsall. Is he ready for it? Because we know Ayuk's probably not going to be on the field on Wednesday unless something just dramatic happens. We're going to talk to Mike Florio today at 8 o'clock about Brandon Ayuk because he said something that we'll play in just a second. Ricky Pearsall, can he get off of bumper run coverage? How's his route running? How's he look physically? I want to see the size of him. Mm. How big does he look on the field? Mm. Is he really an Ayuk replacement or is he a Deebo replacement? Who the hell knows? But everybody keeps saying, oh, they drafted him for Brandon Ayuk. We all remember John Lynch, Deebo Samuel, and Brandon Ayuk all understand they took calls on both those wide receivers. They took calls on Deebo and Brandon Ayuk. It wasn't just Ayuk. It was Deebo, too.
Well, and if you just go to, like, when you go to the practices, you realize, like, there's a big drop-off in terms of separation from Brandon. I'm talking about when they do the DB drills, right? And the DB is lined up with the wide receiver, and you just, you got to do the guru. The couple of shakes and try to get open. Brandon Ayuk clearly creates separation.
Yeah.
You just watch. Now, Charvarius Ward and him was the Titan matchup, if you will, because Charvarius Ward is a physical guy who has pretty good movement.
Can you just repeat what you just said?
What?
About Brandon Ayuk?
He was the guy who clearly got the most separation at practice year after year after year. And it's not even close. But again, the game isn't just about separation.
That's good to know.
But he is. Like, I'm just telling you what my eyes see. And then there's a huge drop-off between him and any other receiver. Jennings isn't a separation guy. Mm. Jennings is like a guy's draped on me and I'll make a catch contested. Like, that's his skill set. And he's physical. He's big. He's a different body than what they have. Danny Gray did nothing for me, just in general.
He's still on the roster, right?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. And then, like, obviously, Deebo Samuel, they don't use Deebo in practice the way that they do in the game. It just doesn't, like, Debo's out there and he'll make a play here and there, but you don't see him flying across formations, you know, getting the usual typical touches that you'd see in a game. I feel like they use him in practice, at least in front of fans, very different. George Kittle very rarely gets used in practice.
So it sounds like the Niners, it would behoove the Niners to get Brandon Ayuk in the cap, right?
Absolutely. And that's Niners. Where, like, you're bringing up Ricky Pearsall. So I'm saying, forget replacement. I want him to complement. That's the ment I want. I want Ricky Pearsall to complement the other wide receivers.
Well, how about Mike Florio when he said this? 888-957-9570. The market for Brandon Ayuk. Here's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. He was on with Pat McAfee, and they asked him about Brandon Ayuk and whether or not he had a market if he was to get traded.
You know, it's funny. He'd been very compliant. He hadn't asked to be traded. There was a time before the draft where, as they were haggling over what he is worth, his agent was given permission to see if other teams would pay him what he was looking for. And at the time, it was $28 million a year. It's probably higher than that now because the market's changed. I'm told there were five teams that were ready to go and give him what he wanted, what the 49ers wouldn't give him. But they couldn't work out a deal with the 49ers for a trade. And, you know, from the 49ers' perspective, this is where it gets a little screwy. You've got five other teams that were willing to pay him what he wants and give you something to get him. Why won't you just pay him what he wants? So he's taken the stand now. He's asked to be traded. We'll see if he shows up for camp. But one thing about the 49ers, we've seen guys, you got to be the squeaky wheel to get paid. You got to be Deebo Samuel, demand to be traded for weeks, and you get paid. Nick Bosa, hold out until right before the start of the season. You get paid. I think Ayuk is shifting into, I'm done being a nice guy here because that didn't give me anything. I'm going to start agitating to either get the contract I deserve or get traded to a team that'll pay me. I think one thing we can all agree on, $14.1 million is criminally low for a guy who was a second-team All-Pro, second in the league in yards per target. He had 1,300-plus receiving yards on only 105 targets last year. Imagine what he could do if he was getting the ball thrown his way 180 times like CeeDee Lamb.
So it sounds like Brandon Ayuk is pretty valuable to the offense. And, you know, Niners, one thing that we glossed over last week was they've been unwilling to get in the contract negotiations with Brandon Ayuk, according to reports. Mike Florio, and we'll talk to him at 8 o'clock again right here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. The Niners have been unwilling to engage with Ayuk, even though he went back to the facility, they had a meeting or whatnot, and we all understand this is a tactic to try to get paid. Hey, trade me now. Hell, Deebo and Ayuk talked about it earlier. Deebo Samuel talked about it with Kay Adams earlier this year.
Not yet. If I knew, I'd tell you.
You haven't talked to anybody about that, right? No. Just like, yeah.
You know, that's just people getting on the internet, moving on. Like.
Just doing that. What do you want to say about Brandon Ayuk? A lot of speculation, like you're saying, a lot of this about his future.
Man, my dog, like, the season that he just came off of and the seasons previous, I mean, if you look at his numbers from when he got to the league and now, like, it's always a different type of leap. And so, man, like I told him, man, I said, hey, man, you put yourself in a position to be where you want to be for us. You know, he's up for a new deal and things like that. And I just told him because I've been through it, like, it's not going to be all fine and dandy like you think it's going to be, man. You got to stay the course. You know, you done did everything possible that you did for you to be in the position that you didn't be in, and just let everything play out.
Just let everything play out.
So here's what I'm failing to understand. If five teams were willing to give the 49ers some compensation and pay Brandon Ayuk, like, that tells you how much they covet him. Hey, not only are we willing to give you draft capital, but we're also willing to shell out a lot of money. And we know that the Niners' financial situation is tricky at best. Mm. What was the holdup? Did the Niners think they could get the deal done on their terms?
I think the Niners probably wanted multiple first-round picks, and they weren't happy with the compensation they were receiving back. considering the player they were going to trade. The 49ers understand how good Brandon Ayuk is. I hope they do.
Yeah, but if you're not going to pay him.
Right. So it's obvious. No, it's obviously that they weren't receiving the compensation that they wanted. They believed that they were going to get a certain package for Brandon Ayuk. Maybe Parag and John Lynch, they had it on a whiteboard. This is what we'll do if they give us X, Y, and Z for Brandon Ayuk. We'll go ahead. The fact that five teams say, dude, we got money ready for him. We're ready to pay him. Let's go. Let's make the deal happen. Obviously, there was an impasse on the compensation, whether it's picks or money, whatever it was. There was a disconnect. So the Niners said, you know what? It's better for us just to hold on to Brandon Ayuk because he's not a chump. He's second team all pro, for crying out loud. So you keep saying it. We're hearing it from Florio. You know where I stand when it comes to Brandon Ayuk. 888-957-9570. As you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and AC1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. What's going to give here? What's going to give? What's going to happen with Brandon Ayuk? The more and more I hear you talk, the more and more I hear Florio talk, the more and more I keep looking at his numbers and his impact on his football team. You can't go into the season without Brandon Ayuk and expect to win a Super Bowl.
Especially when it's Super Bowl or bust.
Definitely Super Bowl. Let's get into that. Because I want to know, and I want to hear from the fans about this one. How can you enjoy a season when it's Super Bowl or bust? Is it even possible to enjoy the regular season when you know the setting is Super Bowl or bust? How can you enjoy it? Can you celebrate similar moments throughout the course of the season? We'll get to that coming up here on the other side, brought to you by Chilton Autobody.
Come on, man. You got Larry June in the building. You listen to the Morning Roast, and we're doing numbers, man. Good job, Morning Roast. Sock it to me. 888-888.
All right, the Roast is back in its slot. We're not jacked up this week. We are back to our 6 to 10 slot. Steiny and Goo, 10 to 2 in Willard and Diz from 2 to 6. But Wednesday, we'll be live from the Santa Clara Hilton Hotel. On Wednesday for the start of training camp. The rookies are already here. The veterans report. Wednesday will be the first official practice. So we'll be down there at the Hilton Hotel in Santa Clara. Please come see us. Please come see us right next door to Levi's Stadium. Should be a lot of fun for the first practice of the season. And what's Shasky, we can't sugarcoat the expectations. There's not a Super Bowl or try again feel this year. This feels like this is the one. This is the year that next year is going to look a lot different. And I'm not going to say the window is going to be closed, but there could be a different cast of characters next season due to finances, due to having to pay the quarterback, guys getting older or whatnot. This feels like the year where, you know, you got to go all in on it. And I think the Niners have gone all in on it. But anything less than hoisting out Lombardi, it sucks to feel like this, and I get why people are hesitant to say Super Bowl or bust because you want to enjoy the process. Mm-hmm. You want to enjoy the season. But boy, it feels like as we enter training camp and we start a new training camp here in 2024 on Wednesday, that the expectations in the setting is anything less than a Lombardi is going to be a massive disappointment for this fan base and this football team.
I think that's the end game. Absolutely. But I would also say that going back to my fan width, right? So instead of bandwidth, I feel like each fan has only so much fan width,
right?
Meaning sports that can occupy your time at any given time, right? And if the Giants were really good and they were going into a like good postseason run, you know, that would distract you from some of the 49er early season stuff. If the Warriors had made a bunch of crazy moves, and they still might, and we were preparing ourselves for another big run with the Warriors, well, that would distract me as well, especially come October when the Warriors start to come back up again. And I know some people get into basketball maybe until Christmas, but you get where I'm going with this.
Yep.
I think because the landscape is so desolate for a Bay Area sports fan, I think if anything, it actually makes all of these 49er games more satisfying. We are six Sundays away from the NFL being back. I'll raise my hand and say, you know, I think maybe in years past, I would have been like poo-pooing the regular season because of the Niners, but because the Giants suck and because the Warriors, I just don't know. Like, I feel like all my chips are in the Niner basket right now.
Well, they have been for me the last, like, once Niner season comes around, they come around. And we're locked in on these regular season games. I don't think this year would be any different, but I think the intensity with these football games, okay, knowing that this is the close, like, we may not have a team that competes for a championship around these parts. We'll see about the Warriors.
We will see.
The Giants seem so far away.
Yeah, they're
the
not.
The Sharks are far away.
Yeah.
The Earthquakes are far away. The Glens and the Roots, maybe they're far away. I don't know. The Oakland Ballers, do they compete for a championship? I don't think so.
I couldn't even name the league that they play in.
So the Niners.
I'm not trying to be mean.
The Niners, this is their, like, they may be the last pro team out here in quite some time that has a chance to win a championship.
Well, plus, they are the Niners.
They're the Niners.
Which have a sex appeal that's just different, and because it's the NFL.
But according to Steve Young on 49ers Talk with Matt Maiocco and Jin Lee Chen, was last year their best chance to secure the Super Bowl? Because we saw Mahomes in practice doing the Xavier Worthy back foot, rolling out to his left.
Oh, my God.
Threw a dime 50 yards. I mean, and the Chiefs are just going to be better.
So, well, let's talk about the Chiefs, because I think that's actually a really good point. So, what was the Chiefs' best chance to win a championship in the last, let's just say, since Mahomes took over?
I mean, they've had chances every year to win them.
No, I know, but like in terms chances. Of roster.
Probably that first one.
I agree. Okay. Now, we like Andy Reid. I think everybody likes Andy Reid. And I think that their GM has done a great job. Brett Veach, I believe, is the name of the GM.
Brett Veach, yeah.
I think he's done a great job. And clearly they have synergy.
Yep.
And they have an elite quarterback. And look, he's the outlier. But Purdy's closer to the Mahomes category than he is, like, bottom-tier quarterbacks. We all could. No one's saying he is Mahomes, yeah, right? But he's in that upper echelon. So here's where I'm going with this, is that, yes, on paper, roster-wise, by far and away, this is one of their best chances. Last year, this year, they're very close, okay? And we'll see how it plays out in terms of health. But there's also a part of me that understands that even though I know I'm going to have to pay Brock Purdy and I'm going to have to lose some high-end players, if you believe in Lynch and Shanahan, which I do, and you believe in the quarterback, which I do, then you got to trust that in a couple of years, they'll be back in the scenario where the Chiefs were, where they kind of reloaded. They had a lot of young players, took a big step forward. The quarterback led them. He grew even more. And they kept certain guys, Chris Jones and Kelsey. And then they hit on draft picks. That's the key. You hit on draft picks. And then your elite play caller found a way to make it work. And boom, you're in the same spot. I'm not saying you're going to win it all. We know Mahomes is an outlier. I get that. But they found Pacheco. And they found a bunch of linebackers. And they found a bunch of secondary players. And then they found enough playmakers on offense with the all-time tight end and an all-time quarterback now. And they found a way to be back in the mix. I don't think it's over for the Niners. I do think it's harder, and they're going to have to hit draft picks. Like, this is their best chance, is what I'm getting at. But this doesn't mean that, like, Shanahan can't find guys. This doesn't mean that Purdy can't become more smart pre-snap
and post-snap. So what's Purdy's growth? Where's his growth? Where does he need to get better?
Well, I mean, I think
because last year was the top three, pardon me, MVP candidate, threw for the most single season yards in Niners history, had an unbelievable season, his first ever full season as a quarterback with the 49ers, 31 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, he ran for another 145. Where is the growth for him? Where does he get better? How can he, look, Mahomes is numero uno, number one, but you're going to have to close a gap at some point. And the growth for me, I'll give you my opinion here. The growth for me is when the chips are down, when you're out without a guy, whether it's Debo or Trent or Ayuk, can you win a game with your arm and your mind? Can you carry this team by yourself when you don't have premium weapons? We see Mahomes do that. We're going to see if Josh Allen can do that. Mm-hmm. We know Joe Burrow can't do that, no matter how good he is. You take away Chase or T. Higgins, or we'll see without Joe Mick. Like, there's a struggle there. Can Brock Purdy overcome some of the shortcomings that other quarterbacks have to deal with throughout the season? That's what I was. That well, to me is the growth for Brock Purdy.
I think it's a fair point. I'd like to see him use his legs a little more. I just think that his legs. I'm not talking about like gun runs up the middle. I'm talking about like scramble drills and you know maybe Shanahan moving the pocket. But to me, the number one thing that I think he will continue to grow is having more of his thumbprint on the offense at the line of scrimmage. Like, I think his number one attribute is his brain. I think he's really, really smart. And if I look at Peyton Manning, I look at Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, the real great quarterbacks of the last two decades, where they've separated as they've gotten older is having more of their fingerprints on the offense pre-snap, moving people around, and then using their brain to set themselves up for even more success.
Well, I don't know if Shanahan's going to allow that.
Well, I think that's Shanahan's part of offense. The growth of Shanahan I'd like to see. Isn't his brain his number one attribute?
Yeah, sure. I think so at times, but his brain at times got him into trouble last year. We could all admit the 49ers were not the same team that they were going into Christmas Day against Baltimore. Something happened there. Because I can't unsee the Baltimore game. That game.
They weren't the same.
I mean, he almost threw seven picks that day, but they weren't the same team from that moment.
Yeah.
The Green Bay game, they were not the same. You know, Green Bay, you're down late in that football game. We were lucky that Brock Purdy walked away from that game without an interception in the box score. Mm-hmm. I watched the game not too long ago. Like, damn, we almost threw three picks on this one drive, let alone the game. So the growth for me is, can you carry this team if somebody goes down? That's what the elite of the elite do. Mm-hmm. They carry you. Brady, down chips, okay, you know what? We'll overcompensate. We'll replace this guy. We'll win a football game. We'll find a way to win. Can he continue to do that? He did. Like, as much as I just ripped him for the Green Bay game, they did find a way to win. They found a way to win. You get credit for that. But that, to me, is the growth. But Steve Young on the 49ers podcast, 49ers Talk podcast with Matt Maiocco and Jin Lee Chen, does he believe Steve Young, the great one, that last year was their best chance to win a Super Bowl?
Last year, the Rams are down. The whole division's down. Seahawks are down. The Cardinals are way down. You know, in the playoffs, you play a Packer team that's been middling the whole time. You got an upstart Lions squad. You're like, that's how we get to the Super Bowl, and then you play a down year Chiefs team. Like, of all the times that you're set up to do it, that was it. But since the Ravens at Christmas, I mean, we just weren't the same.
Mm.
And, you know, we held Patrick Mahomes to 19 points. You could have told me, look, Patrick Mahomes won't score three touchdowns. We're not gonna win that game? Like, you're not going to walk over the Packers? You're not going to walk over the Lions? Like, things were haywire from Christmas on, and that's why last year was the time with the best roster in football to go get it done. And the fact is it didn't happen. That happens. It happened to me. I get that. But now next year, I think the Rams will be better. I think Marvin Harris will make the Cards better. The Seahawks will be better. The Lions will be better. The Packers will be better. Like, it's going to get better. And we're probably not, I don't know if we'll get better, but hopefully we can stay the same and still beat the rank and file with this amazing roster we have and the way that we are innovative, we deploy the guys on offense, then yeah, great. What just happened was a big miss. It was too bad.
Is that a big miss? Is that one miss we're going to come back and look at and say, damn, kind of like the Niners when they lost to the Ravens, like, damn, that was our best chance. Or maybe it was 2011. It was like, damn, that was our best chance. But Kyle Williams kind of fumbled it away. Was that our best chance? Like, are we going to look
sad,
back?
But it's true.
Are we going to look back at last season saying we had a golden opportunity?
And I mean, we let it slip. I do think it was one of their best shots. I don't think this year is going to be easy. I don't think it gets easier.
I think it gets harder.
Steve Young on that. That doesn't mean it can't happen.
No,
right?
No doubt.
And like, we also don't know what ends up happening around the league, because I'm looking around the league like we're all expecting Detroit to take another step forward. It's hard to go from a 12 or 13 win team to a 14 or 15 win team.
No doubt.
Now, they might be more efficient. You know, there's a lot. They might have the number one seed. Like, things happen. The Niners didn't really grasp the number one seed until after the whole Eagles thing. Like,
right.
The Eagles were the top dog. And it's hard to pick yourself back up after a Super Bowl loss. All that is so real. But we just also don't know what ends up happening around the league.
No doubt.
Didn't see Tampa Bay being as good as they were.
But they will get better.
Agreed.
And that's to Steve Young's point. Green Bay will be better. Chicago will be better. Philadelphia will be better. McDonald, the Ravens defensive coordinator, now the head coach of Seattle. Guess what? I feel like they're going to be a bit better. Anybody think the Rams are going to be better without Aaron Donald? We'll see. Offensively, they look good on paper. Blake Corum, Kerryon Johnson, Cooper Kupp, Puka, the rest of the crew. Arizona, will they be better? Feels like they will. Let's go to Bert and Benicia. Bert has some Niner expectations here on the Morning Roast. What up, Bert?
What's up? I think last year was that year. Coming off of the Eagles game, losing Brock the way that we did, how pissed off everyone was, and, like, in disbelief. And they kind of had that drive, like, if he was healthy, like, we'd be back. And then you go through the season, you start hot, you lose three in a row, you kind of come out of that rut, and everything's built in. The comeback against the Packers, you come back against Detroit, and then you get the Chiefs. Like, I wanted the Chiefs, to be honest. Like, I want Mahomes. I want that rematch. Last year was the year to do it. After everything that happened, losing to the Rams in the NFC Championship, losing to the Eagles in the NFC Championship, after losing to the Chiefs, you get back to the big game with this lineup, with everybody healthy, with everybody hungry, and then that happens. And you don't score 24 points in regulation to win the game. You get held to under 20, just like that you hold the Chiefs to under 20. And that was like the year. Last summer, I put a $500 bet on the Niners to win the ball last summer because I was like, this is it. This is our year. To be honest, and I hate to say this, this feels like one of those years where you have a divisional first-round loss.
Wow.
I mean, let's let it play out. I hear what he's saying.
But you know what, though? To his point, and I'm not even trying to be negative and down and out, but I'm having a tough time. We talked about the journey last season, the journey to get through Philadelphia and to get to Las Vegas. I'm having a difficult time kind of to conjure up that energy to say, okay, boom, we're back. Last year's loss in the Super Bowl has lingered a lot longer than I wanted it to.
Did they click way too early in general last year?
No, I don't think so. I think they did what they had to do. You got that number one seed. You had home field advantage against an unproven quarterback in Jordan Love and an unproven Detroit Lions team. So it set up perfectly for them.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I think all Niner fans can agree, like, okay, whether you think they played their best football against the Cowboys or against the Eagles later on in the year, they weren't the same Baltimore on.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. Going to the Baltimore game, they were not the same.
So what happened?
You play better defenses.
Okay. Like, did they do something different, though?
I don't think they did anything differently. I think teams were just covered. They all played the 49ers for most of the quarters. I don't know what changed. It's a great question. I don't know what changed. Maybe they had more tape on Brock. Maybe more tape on Shanahan. Maybe they knew, hey, the Niners love the middle of the field. Let's take that away.
It's interesting.
Maybe we need to press them. Press their wide receivers. They can't gain separation. Because the Baltimore game was like a bunch of ghosts. I mean, oh my gosh, the Baltimore game was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare. I don't know what changed from that point on. But I guess going into the season, knowing that, damn, we just blew a golden opportunity. I know the Rams will be better. Hell, I'm watching Patrick Mahomes throw 50-yard passes to Xavier Worthy, and I'm putting my face in my hand thinking, hey, anybody beat Kansas City in the AFC? Well, so I'm thinking about all these things here, and I'm saying to myself, Chasky, how do I muster up the energy to buckle up, get through another riveting regular season, knowing that you can win 11 games and it's not going to mean nothing around here? Well, you can win 12 games around here. If the Niners hang another division banner, Chasky, it won't mean a damn thing.
Look,
only thing that matters going into the season, you know this, is hoisting a Lombardi.
I know.
And that's tough to deal with.
But you have to take the steps there. So, like, we can have our eyes on the big prize, but you can't get too ahead of yourself. You got to go one step at a time. And I think that a lot of these guys understand that just getting there and preserving yourself on the route there is the most important. So I'm thinking about, like, what went awry last year. And to me, the number one thing was, like, if we're being fully transparent, all year long, their D-line wasn't even close to what we are accustomed to seeing. Did they play good defense? I thought they did. They were good. They weren't close to the elite defense they were in years past. I didn't think they were as suffocating. The numbers might suggest a lot. I didn't get the same, wow, this is Nick Bosa, you know, putting his imprint on this game, putting his thumb on the scale. Right. I never felt like that defensive line suffocated anyone back half of the season. I think their secondary is going to be better this year than they were last year. I think losing Talanoa was a big loss.
Huge.
And I think that they're older, they're hungrier. I look at the D-line, and I look at Bosa in particular. If I told you Bosa has a monster year, and he is wrecking shop like we think he can, I think that they can be a better football team overall. The record may not be better, but I think for the playoffs and closing down the stretch, I think if they can get the pass rush back to where it was, that to me could be the differentiator. They may not be as efficient offensively. Heck, even Christian McCaffrey might have a slight downtick. And if that defense is better and they're playing more complementary football, that I think that is the difference.
Malik Collins is a good addition from Houston. Leonard Floyd is a really good addition from Buffalo. We know what Leonard Floyd brings to the table opposite of Nick Bosa. I think he may be the most consistent edge rusher opposite of Nick Bosa since D. Ford before he broke down. Yeter Gross-Matos is a role guy. We've talked about him a little bit here. Jordan Elliott is another role guy for this defensive line. And then there's Drake Jackson wearing number 95. Drake Jackson had the 3 sacks against Pittsburgh. And maybe he stayed in Pittsburgh. Maybe he stayed to watch a Pitt Panther game. Maybe he stayed in Pittsburgh. He's one of those hot roast beef sandwiches. I don't know. But after the Pittsburgh game, Drake Jackson was MIA. And we didn't hear from him the rest of the year. In which the Niners had to go out and go pick up Randy Gregory and Chase Young. So is there anything on the table? Is there anything left for Drake Jackson? You got Nick Bosa opposite you.
I think it starts with Bosa.
You have to. But yeah, I'm just looking at Drake, who's a second-round pick,
yeah,
right?
No, he's
second
important.
Round pick.
He's important.
Very important. Leonard Floyd is a veteran. Maybe he can learn from Leonard Floyd. Maybe he could get better by watching Leonard Floyd, being a veteran instead of being around Randy Gregory and Chase Young, guys who are looking to get paid and get theirs. Leonard Floyd has been in this league for a long time. Can he learn from Leonard Floyd and get better in that department, Drake Jackson? Because you're right, the D-line did. They did suffer.
It felt like it was just like a revolving door of, like, let's try this, let's try this, let's try this. I mean, they went Randy Gregory early in the season, and then they had to go Chase Young. It felt like both guys were, eh.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And I know you got the Chase Young game in the Super Bowl. Like, hey, that was a phenomenal game from him in the Super Bowl. But if we're being 100% candid, I don't think anybody thought he was a great addition. If right. we look at the totality of his Niner tenure.
Yeah. I just, and by the way, I say Kerryon Johnson. I'm thinking of the old Auburn running back, Kyron Williams, guy from the Rams. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Notre Dame guy. He's legit. Kerryon Johnson's a running back from Auburn. I'm thinking about for some reason. I don't know what made me think about him. I don't even think he's in the league. Where's he in Detroit? Did he get drafted by Detroit?
I think so. Maybe you're thinking of like legends in NCAA football. So,
yeah,
like,
I did play NCAA football until 3:30 Saturday night.
I want to go back to Bosa because like,
so good.
When I think of the great defensive line players or outside linebackers of the last, let's just say 10 years or so, like J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, those guys are immovable forces no matter who's around them. And when they want to put their imprint on the game, no one can do anything to slow them down or stop them. I just think Bosa didn't have a great year. Like, by the Bosa metric, not by other people's metrics.
No, it wasn't
by
good.
By grading on a Bosa curve. Like,
it wasn't good.
He's an all-timer. And so you have to play like an all-timer. And I want to see him play with his hair on fire this year. And if I told you Bosa gets back to being the 15 to 20 sack guy, doesn't that kind of change a lot for this team?
It does. It does. But he's going to have to prove it by beating more doubles or triples again. Now, can Leonard Floyd command the amount of attention that can distract other, you know, saying, hey, maybe he sees single coverage. Maybe he benefits from the gravity of Nick Bosa. That's one thing that the opposite edge, whether it was Chase Young or Randy Gregory or Drake Jackson, they did not take advantage of the Kerryon Johnson was a Niner for a week. Is that right? They didn't take advantage of the gravity from Nick Bosa. And so Nick Bosa saw a lot of doubles. Yeah, it helps a lot if Nick Bosa gets 15 to 20 sacks, so you can force some turnovers here, and you can help out this secondary. No doubt about that. But offensively, something also happened to the 49ers. It was more of a grind offensively. The explosives, obviously in the playoffs, teams get better. You're playing top-of-the-line defenses in the playoffs. There's no doubt about that. But it became a grind for that offense, and the turnover bug started to plague them at times. Offensively, what's that next step for them, especially if Brandon Ayuk is not around here? Here's Steve Young, though. As we're talking about Brock Purdy evolving his game, here's what Steve Young thought on the 49ers Talk podcast with Matt Maiocco and Jay Lee Chen about how Brock can evolve and elevate his game.
Make sure you have amazing people around you. Have an amazing coach, you know, and all the pieces that, you know, that's number one, because you need a lot of help to be great. That's a fact. We all know that at quarterback in the NFL. I think what you saw in the Packer game, there are free yards in today's wide open game. It's a different game than 20 years ago. And the guys who go get them with their legs in key moments, and I think that he needs to think about spitting out 50, 60 yards a game with his legs.
With his legs. Like the Lions game, right?
Yeah. Well, I thought it was the Packer game, too, when he took off. The threat. And you don't have to necessarily do it every time, but people, defenses need to know, at a key moment, he just got the first down because it's wide open. Go take it. Patrick Mahomes does a great job. Like Josh Allen, you see that all the time. Lamar Jackson, you see it. Look, Brock knows he's not that guy, but he can be a threat. And I think that threat needs to come out more this year.
So Steve Young believes his legs will help him evolve to another level, and that he's going to have to run a little bit more, and that can help his game and help this 49ers offense. He's a mobile quarterback. Brock Purdy can make some things happen with his feet. Well, there's no doubt about that.
I thought in the Super Bowl there were a couple of plays, specific plays, where just a little movement left or right out of the pocket, opens up maybe that secondary play for a receiver to break and come to you on a broken play, but also just to like get 5, 6, 7 yards instead of a, you know, no gain. Instead of 3rd and 8, it's 3rd and 4 or 3rd and 6. I think the Mahomes does a great job of that. Like, they don't really do design runs for Mahomes. Don't. But what he does
they
really well
Super
is like,
Bowl.
I'll just pump fake, and I just keep moving. Next thing you know, I get 6, 7, 8 yards. I do think that there are a lot more Purdy-free yards, and not on the design stuff. I'm talking about the impromptu stuff. I think he needs to impromptu a little more. He is good when he's impromptu.
I don't know if I want Purdy running around a lot because he is the quarterback and I have to pay this guy at some point. And God forbid something happens to him, we're going to Josh Dobbs. And we saw how the Josh Dobbs experience went in Minnesota. We've seen how he's gone in his career. Josh Dobbs is okay as a backup, but I don't want to see him play and take a snap in the regular season.
No one wants to see Josh Dobbs play.
My thought was, and I thought Steve Young would go in this direction, the drop back passing game. The drop back passing game has been very mediocre for the 49ers. And when it comes to these big boy teams and you need to drop back and make a throw, that's where Super Bowls won and lost. How can he improve in the drop back passing game? Is it a Kyle thing? Is it a play calling thing? Is it a scheme thing? I don't know what it is, Shasky, but all I know is that drop back passing game let Niner fans and the 49ers down in the Super Bowl. At times, they let them down against the Green Bay Packers. How can they evolve and how can they improve and modernize their drop back passing game? Because that has been something that has been very suspect.
So we're going drop back passing game, even though during the regular season they were obviously clearly really efficient, but it was a lot off of play action, things like that. So you mean like five wide?
I'm five wide, four wide, so, three wide. I'm talking about third and seven.
Yeah.
I got to have a five-step drop. We need to make a throw. The pass game, just straight up pass game, vertical pass game, drop back passing game. I don't give a damn what formation it is. I don't care who's on the field. Yeah. It just let them down in critical situations. Under Shanahan, for crying out loud, this isn't just last year. Yeah. It's going back to 2019. It's going to 2021. In the playoffs, think about the Rams NFC Championship game and the Cowboys game and the Green Bay game. And I know we can say it's Jimmy, but the drop back passing game has been lacking. I need a little more.
Well, I think that's why they got Ricky Pearsall. See, like, and again, they might still move Brandon Ayuk, but how many times did they go five wide and they emptied out and it was like Jennings or Conley? Like, you just didn't have that extra guy, just one extra guy who's like a separator, right? And I think that Ricky Pearsall in this equation, if you got CMC on the field, Debo, Ayuk, Pearsall, Kittle.
Let me stop you for a second. This is why Brandon Ayuk, when it all comes back around to him, you can't get rid of the guy.
For this
year,
no.
Rid of the guy.
Absolutely
you
not.
You can't get rid of the guy.
You're not better this year.
Foreseeable future. Somebody who's a man beater. Can you beat man coverage, for crying out loud? That does help.
Well, and I'd also like to see them split CMC out a little more. I know they want to get him mashed up on linebackers. I would try to set him up in the slot a little more. I think he can be a great little slot receiver. I don't think they utilize that in the drop back passing game enough. If Tom Brady had CMC, yes, he would check down to him, but wouldn't he also split him out wide? And I think he would split out Kittle wide.
So maybe it's Kyle Shanahan who needs to evolve.
This is why I keep going back to, I would like to see him let Brock do a little more at the line of scrimmage. I think Brock, if you are comparing Jimmy to Brock, Brock identifies the matchup at the line of scrimmage before the snap way better than Jimmy did. Like, oh, I got one-on-one out here, and Ayuk's going to cook that guy. He did it with Kittle down the line to the Jacksonville game. Like, he knew. He even said, like, this is going to me. I think Brock's really good at that. So if you're going to go five wide in those situations, let him conduct the orchestra a little. And I think that's where he can ease off Kyle Shanahan's kind of like deficiencies in that drop back passing game.
Well, the five wide that I think about, third and five in the Super Bowl, because Steiny brought this up, and I got in a really dark place Friday thinking about that Super Bowl because I remember it like it was yesterday. It's just the head coach, man, made so many bad. But third and five to ice the game in regulation. And Shanahan is saying, oh, CMC, CMC, CMC. And Brock Purdy's looking Ayuk's way. And he's looking right in front of a blitzer. And I believe it was Trent McDuffie.
Yeah.
Who blitzed.
A free blitz, yeah.
Free blitz, five wide, boom. They sent an extra guy. And you throw it right into the blitz, and he bats it down. And now you got to settle for a long field goal. And Patrick Mahomes gets the ball back. There's a disconnect on that play where Brock Purdy didn't see what Shanahan wanted. Those guys have to get on the same page on these critical third downs. And that's what I mean by the drop back passing game and some of the evolution of this, whether it's the personnel, whether it's the formation. They just have to be better in these situations. Third and five to ice the game, to ice the Super Bowl, to ice the Super Bowl. And the head coach and the quarterback weren't on the same page. And Brock Purdy gets his, Trent McDuffie gets his Mutombo on. No. Well, and as you know, you're settling for a long field goal.
There were certain moments the offensive line and the communication broke down. It did. I'm not trying to take it off of Shanahan and off Purdy, but they did just get beat sometimes Like, one guy just blew a dude off the line. Yeah. There were a couple plays in particular. Right. Obviously, the third and five. The snafu there.
And that was out of a two-minute warning. So he had 5 minutes to diagram a play for third and five. Kyle Shanahan, the offensive guru.
Well, they got to the line, and Burford and whoever it was on the right side, McKivitz, they didn't figure out who to stay in front of. They didn't do the right thing.
So do you really believe last year we're going to look back? As we fact, because like once we get to Wednesday, we're going to fast forward.
We're going to be excited for next year.
We'll be excited for the upcoming season, but we still have a couple days to kind of relive last season. And going into the season,
Do you ever get over the 2011 NFC Championship game?
No, I don't. Never get over it.
Me neither.
Because they
blew that opportunity.
And they blew that opportunity. They blew the next year's opportunity. They blew the year after opportunity. And now we're going down that same rabbit hole. We're like, damn, 2019, we had a great team. You're up 10 points on the Kansas City Chiefs with 7 minutes of change left. And it's a 3rd and 15. And we know what happened from that point on. The Rams. We sat there before that NFC Championship game at SoFi Stadium. But on the big board at SoFi Stadium, they were playing the Bengals-Chiefs AFC Championship game. And the Bengals won that game. And the crowd erupted knowing, boy, we got a great chance to win a Super Bowl. The Niners and Rams felt that way. It was like, boy,
and
the Bengals and the Rams cashed in.
So I keep coming back to the coach because I actually think the burden and the boulder on his shoulder gets heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier every year that they don't do it. Mm. Not even the players. I actually think it's like
straight ahead.
Yeah, because he's got now the most, a variety of quarterbacks.
I think he's got the most pressure on him heading into 2024.
In a variety of ways.
It's not even
the
players, Shasky. He's got the most pressure on him going into 2024.
If we were to boil down frustration, I think play calling, not knowing the overtime rules, situational play calls, him deciding to go with that defensive coordinator in that moment of where they were as an organization that late in the process. A lot goes back to Shanahan. I would say he takes the biggest slice of the pie from that loss.
Oh, my gosh. He's got the most pressure on him going into the year, huh? He's not even a player. How can a coach, not a player, have the most pressure on?
Honestly,
Brock Purdy's playing with house money.
Yeah, well, and this is what I think about. All right, let's say this year you do take a step back and you go 9-8. Hypothetically, you go 9-8. What kind of pressure is on you next year?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Here's what happened now. What happened now? Oh wow. Yeah, we're not gonna Colin Cowherd. I thought something happened. I'd look at the studio. They're like, if Lincoln Riley's fired, Deion is a perfect replacement for the USC head coach.
Can he win like 7 games? Right,
yeah, Don't say that again.
Let him win in the Big 12.
Paul Feinbaum getting a little too overzealous there.
Yeah. Colin Cowherd. Look who he picks to win the NFC West, Shasky. Your boy, Colin Cowherd.
NFC West, yes, I like the Rams. I thought they had a back-to-back sensational drafts. Finished top 10 in total offense and scoring last year. I really like what they've done with their defensive front in the last two drafts. Niners are good, but they're an old, expensive football team. Watch out for injuries and the Brandon Ayuk noise.
It's the NFL. Everyone gets hurt. What is he talking about? And how are we old when Bosa's literally just entering into his prime? Ayuk is still, 26 years old?
He's on the roster.
All right. Like, Aaron Banks is young. You know, I dismiss ahead, that. Ricky Pearsall hasn't even played a snap.
Debo's 28 still. Yeah, no, just listening to that is just like my only takeaway is, okay, so the Rams are not going to win the NFC West. That was my takeaway from Coward saying that.
And they've got the oldest player in this equation in Matt Stafford. Like, I
disagree. They got the better head coach.
Who's also been injured.
But according to you, they got the better head coach.
Splitting hairs, yeah.
Oh, I can't believe you're on the McVay train.
I hate him.
Oh, I can't believe it. I thought I was a McVay guy. Oh, man, let's go to David Fresno. Dave, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Anytime.
You guys are talking about the offense evolving, and, you know, I've been saying this for years, and Shasky, you know, I appreciate you bringing this point up. Part of the reason I think Brock probably doesn't get the respect that he probably deserves is just the Shanahan doesn't allow freedom of the quarterback to have that, before the line of scrimmage,
autonomy.
You know, to make, you know, audible calls and things like that. I think everybody knows this is Shanahan's offense. This is his baby. You know, look at the history of the quarterbacks. You know, he doesn't really talk to them on the sidelines. His baby is that play sheet. That is the mother of all love for Shanahan, and that's all he cares about. And Brock, he stepped in, he's doing a good job, but Shanahan does not want to give that freedom. I just think that stubbornness gets in the way, and it kind of costs us in games. You can see that, you know. And then we look at the history. We never really had a deep threat. Our fastest receiver is Marquise Goodwin, I believe, and we never really have a deep threat passing game. You know, we did make some deep balls last year. We, you know, but like Shashi said, that was mostly off like play action and things of that nature. But Vontae, you're right, dude. Sometimes when it's 39, with all these offensive weapons, I'm still holding my breath because that's just not the chance.
All right, Dave, you're breaking up. By the way, it was a good call. It was a good call.
Half a flush.
It was a good call. Good call. By the way, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Mike Florio at 8 minutes. Mike Florio. By the way, the Niners, they have the most players over the age of 30. They have 18 players over the age of 30.
Okay.
That's the most in the league. You know who's second most? Houston Texans with 12. 12. So the Niners, by far and away, even though they do have some youngsters, they are a little long in the tooth. They are long in the tooth. Steelers have 11 players over the age of 30.
Okay, but we have some guys that are, I would call, legends. And so, yeah, like, the fine. Patriots for years had old teams.
Yeah, no, the old teams doesn't, I mean, it does a lot of wear and tear, though. There is something that's something to monitor. They played a lot of 4 NFC Championship games in the last 5 years. Like, we think about the Warriors and, you know, all their finals runs, which is very impressive because they were playing in the deep June and then have to come back for training camp in October. A lot of basketball, a lot of miles on those legs. Niners do have a lot of miles with this football team. A lot of calluses here, right? But injuries happen to every team. How do you overcome them?
Well, and I think that, like, Kittle, Juice, Trent, like, just some of the old guys that I could think of off the top of my head, like, those guys now kind of have a pretty good feel for how to keep their bodies, you know, intact throughout the season.
Well, they still get beat up.
No doubt.
They still get beat up. Debo got knocked out of 2 out of 3 playoff games. Kittle couldn't play for most of the overtime possession. I mean,
in the final game.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, the Chiefs had injuries too.
They did, and they overcome them. They overcome them.
They
overcome them.
Like, it sucks, but like, they lost in overtime in the Super Bowl.
And it may have been their best chance. It may have been their best chance.
No, I know, but to like, to think that like everything they did needs to be questioned. It's
no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that at all. We're just asking a question. How do you evolve?
One play goes their way, they win, and none of these things we even.
But they had a lot of plays that didn't go their way, and they controlled most of those plays.
No, you're right.
A McCaffrey fumble, right? Not scoring after Mahomes throws three flies up, interception. Looked like a punt. You don't take advantage of that. I mean, the list goes on. They did not deserve to win that Super Bowl. When you watch it back, and you're like, damn.
Well, they did, but they didn't.
And you know what? I hate saying this, because you got to play the game. But now when you look back at the entire week, it feels like that entire week, they lost the Super Bowl. Whether it was media day, whether it was bitching and moaning about the practice field at UNLV, flying back to the Bay Area to practice, they didn't like the field. All of a sudden, hey, Chiefs, do you want to share the facility at the Raiders facility? All this stuff. That game was just a totality of everything that happened that week. And then, oh, by the way, we don't know the overtime rules.
Oh, that was the...
That's sickening, man. That is really sickening. So, yes, going into this year, in my opinion, there's nobody, and I'm not saying he's going to get fired, Shanahan, if they fail to make it to the Super Bowl, if they fail to make it to the playoffs.
He'll get fired when they start going 4-13.
But to me, the most pressure heading to 2024, not even on a player. It's on Kyle Shanahan. How does Kyle Shanahan grow from last season and from all these shortcomings in big games?
And then, does the personnel take a hit now that one of your main guys, Adam Peters, is no longer part of the team?
Mike Florio coming up, 8 o'clock. Spadoni, what's up, man? Hit me with it.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
The A's, are they just going to change their name to the Athletics? They should just do that.
The Athletics.
Instead of being Sacramento or Las Vegas, hey, we're the Athletics.
I think that is what they are doing.
What?
Yeah, that is what they are doing while they are in Sacramento. I think they are just going to be the Athletics.
So they're not going to have a jersey that says Sacramento?
No, they'll have like Anthony Slater, Marcus Thompson, Tim Kawakami for the Athletics.
Worst joke.
They continue to await the return of Estuary Ruiz, though that wait will last even longer. Ruiz was pulled off his rehab assignment over the weekend as he continues to feel discomfort in his wrist. What a season for him. He is expected to be reevaluated by team doctors today. The A's have been without their leadoff hitter since late May with a strained left wrist. Remember, they sent him down to Las Vegas when he was their hottest hitter. And they sent him down to Las Vegas. Like, yeah, we don't need you on the big league club. What a dumpster fire.
You reap what you sow, brother.
The injury report brought to you by Boxer Girls in Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. The one, the only, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. He joins us to talk some Bayou here on the Morning Rose on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.